Okay, good evening. I'd like to call the Wednesday, May 2nd, 2018 Board of Directors meeting for the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Director Nichols?
Here.
Director Hill?
Here.
Chair Austin?
Here.
All are present.
Can you all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Ready? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay. Agenda review. I do have a suggestion. I'd like to move item 6A to above public comment and put public comment after item 6A so Mr. Fine can give his report first. So
I have no objection to that.
I have no objection, Madam Chair.
Okay, so that's what we'll do then. We're going to go ahead, if you're ready, Mr. Fine, we'll go ahead.
I do have a couple comments about the agenda. I've asked repeatedly that consideration of restitution from the Wallace organization and that the board would take up the matter of repudiating Mary Lucy's comments related to Mr. Clemens while she was a member of this board be considered on the agenda. And I've yet to see this come about.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Fine.
So, Madam Chair, I noted that you said okay, so I'll take that as...
No, I didn't say, I didn't mean okay, it was going to go on the agenda. I just said, like, okay, you're done speaking.
We will...
Finish speaking. That's what I meant.
I will continue to request these items be placed on the agenda. I'm perfectly within my rights to do that.
Okay, Mr. Fine.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and Directors, staff, and public. I would invite the public to move to your right, or I guess we're facing the same way, to your left, to better see the screen if you would like. The presentation will largely focus around the screen. I would like to thank the board for having me here tonight. This is a very exciting time for what was formerly known as the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project, and we'll get into that. For some of you, this presentation will be a bit of a review, and for that I apologize, but I do want to bring everybody up to speed for the public to let everybody know how we got to where we are and where we are and where we're going. I would also like to thank your staff for their cooperation. it's been a very collaborative, that's the word I was looking for, collaborative project and everybody working together, and we wouldn't be able to get where we are without everybody's commitment and efforts. Mr. Sweet, although he's only been here for a short time and probably won't be here for much longer, has been a pleasure to work with and has been very helpful in moving the project along. So historic drought brought highlights to vulnerabilities in the City of Pismo Beach's water supply portfolio. The City of Pismo Beach has state water, Lake Lopez water, and groundwater. And the Urban Water Management Plan for the city identified the need for recycled water. And the city received a recycled facilities planning grant in August of 2012. Our city council adopted the recycled water facilities planning study in April of 2015. So we've been working on this for quite some time. What that study showed us, the city had been working towards purple pipe for potable water offset for quite some time. And what the study actually showed us, and you can see here, is that looking at the costs for secondary 23 irrigation water, tertiary irrigation water, and full advanced treatment with either coastal injection wells or inland injection wells, the full advanced treatment actually comes out to be cheaper. So we kind of had a change of thought, and let's go for the full advanced treatment and do potable reuse instead of potable water offset. Throughout our preliminary analysis, the project ran into some forks in the road, multiple forks actually. We have a shared groundwater basin with the City of Arroyo Grande, City of Grover Beach, the Oceana Community Services District, that we all kind of have our straws in the same drink, so to speak. Our production wells are actually outside of the city. The city of Pismo Beach's production wells are in the city of Grover Beach. And then we also have flooding concerns at our wastewater treatment plant. And then we have shared infrastructure with the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitary District. I will refer to you as the district from now on to keep my tongue from getting tripped up. But our effluent is pumped to your site, and then we have a shared outfall to the ocean. So we looked at all these things, along with the fact that the city of Pismo Beach and the city of Rio Grande have a joint conservation program and a shared conservation web page. We had kind of this aha moment. If you look at our wastewater treatment plant here and your wastewater treatment plant to the south, and we have this line that connects the two, and we have the shared infrastructure, we were pursuing recycled water, and you guys were on the cusp of beginning down the road where we had already been. We thought, why not just do one project and utilize the shared infrastructure and have one injection field instead of two? And have one treatment plant instead of two. So we partnered with our neighbors, the city of Pismo Beach, Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, the Oceana Community Services District, and the district, partnering together to create a new brand. And that was the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project. We were very excited about the new brand. It was no longer City of Pismo Beach Project. All of the agencies signed memorandums of understanding that this would be a cooperative project. The boards all unanimously approved it, and we moved on. We were very excited with our new name, our new brand, and our unity. When we came up with the brand, it was a very conscious decision. We targeted regulators and financiers. We were looking to get grants, and we were looking to get permits. And that's how we came about with the name Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project. We took a field trip to check out the Pure Water Monterey demonstration plant, and we were very excited to all move forward together with the Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project. This project will provide advanced water purification, creating a new beneficial water source. Wastewater will be treated locally. There will be a new regional groundwater facility instead of discharging the water to the ocean. And the advanced purification will use proven water treatment technology that will produce drinking water quality resource. And then this new resource will be injected into the Santa Maria groundwater basin, where it will be extracted by the agencies for potable water use. The state of California currently does not have direct potable reuse, otherwise we would probably go down that avenue. Some of our recent successes is we are moving forward with the EIR with a 50-50 cost share between the city of Pismo Beach and your district. We're pursuing a groundwater model. We're expecting it to be done in the next 2 to 3 months. That'll cover the entire groundwater basin located within the county of San Luis Obispo. So that'll stretch from the northern area of Pismo Beach all the way to the Santa Maria River. And that model is being funded by the city of Pismo Beach, the district, and the county of San Luis Obispo Zone 3 Water Flood Control and Water Conservation District. Preliminary engineering for the project is being funded by the city of Pismo Beach for phase one. And phase one will treat inject the effluent from the city of Pismo Beach wastewater treatment plant. And then once you guys complete your redundancy project, phase two will come online, and that will treat the flows from Arroyo Grande, Grover Beach, and Oceano, or from the district. And preliminary engineering for that is being funded by the city of Grover Beach and the city of Arroyo Grande. We also received a Prop 1 planning grant. So that grant, the initial award was $1.1 million. And we had scoped $1.7 million in project costs. And what the Water Board came back with is said, hey, if you come up with $1.6 million in matching funds, we'll increase your grant to $2 million. And the exciting thing is the match includes all money spent back to November 4th, 2014. So hitting that $1.7 million will be very easy because we're pretty close to that already. And so we are completing the final paperwork to receive the $2 million grant. The grant will fund a Texas injection well, and so that's the design, testing, and construction. And that well will actually be part of the injection field once the project comes to fruition. Also helping to fund the updated groundwater model that I just told you of. So we've had many successes, and we're very excited to move forward. One of the areas where we missed the mark a little bit was with our branding. And as you look at all these things that go into what makes a brand, the logo, the publicity, the economy, the marketing, the management, the image, all of these things are really important when considering branding, but probably the most important one is your customer. And who is your customer, and how do you relate to that customer? And that's one of the spots where we all collectively agree that we might have missed the mark a little bit. So we embarked on a campaign to come up with a new brand for the project. All the agencies participated along with our consultant. Our tagline, One Water, One Community, One Future. And we were looking for a brand that really speaks to our connection to water. We wanted a brand that acknowledges the value we place on water in the Central Coast. We want a brand that connects to our community in closing the water gap. We want a brand that honors the water sustainability legacy that we are leading. And we wanted a brand that demonstrates our water innovation across the world. So together, we're defining and celebrating a new water journey that we now call Central Coast Blue. Central Coast Blue will provide the advanced water purification facility. It's a high-quality water source for the five cities' communities, a solution for drought-resistant water supplies, and it'll capture an existing resource for groundwater replenishment. It'll provide sustainable water supplies, providing up to 40% of our existing water demand, which can be met through Central Coast Blue. There will be a 77% reduction in ocean water discharge, and it'll put to beneficial use the recycled water. So these five agencies, City of Pismo Beach, your district, City of Grover Beach, Oceana Community Services District, and the City of Arroyo Grande, are managing water collaboratively and holistically to create a lasting water independence. The regional water stewardship that helped lead to the creation of the Lake Lopez Dam is a similar collaboration that we're taking on now with Central Coast Blue, and it provides an equally significant water solution for our community and for our future. So this is a timeline of kind of where we've been. You can see, if I can get this to work, we're here, preliminary design, technology piloting, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute, the environmental review. Moving on to next year, we're looking to get the phase one design and permitting done, the advanced treatment design, site selection, test injection well, and then in 2020, kickoff for construction for phase one, and the preliminaries design for phase two. And then in 2021, we're hoping to be operating phase one and breaking ground for construction for phase two and become one step closer to water independence. So I did speak about the demonstration facility briefly on the previous slide. Through a very generous donation from IDE, we have a pilot plant which is operating at the City of Pismo Beach Wastewater Treatment Plant. And we'll be having a ribbon cutting and open house on May 15th at 3:30. You all should have received invitations to that, and I hope that you can come. It is open to the public if anybody would like to come. You can come see the technology, have a tour of the plant, and actually taste the water and drink the water. One Community Central Coast Blue protects our shared groundwater. One Water Central Coast Blue recognizes that all water has value. And One Future Central Coast Blue is the right investment for the future. So that's the presentation. I really wanted to highlight the collaboration and the rebranding. Moving forward, one of the important items is site selection. On the technical side, the preferred site is at your district's wastewater treatment plant location at the yard out there. That's where all the water is now, and we wouldn't have to pump the water anywhere. We are looking to secure an off-site location. Should something happen, we not be able to develop on your site, and really the hurdle there would be the Coastal Commission and the floodplain issues that you have as well as our plant has. So we're working forward towards that. I would ask that your board consider at some point to have your staff work in drawing up a memorandum of understanding or a memorandum of agreement to allow this the plant to be located there. I know this is a presentation and not an agenda item, so you can't discuss and make that decision now, but hopefully in the near future that's something that your board can discuss so we can solidify and start kind of laying out and figure out with your staff the best siting of the facility. That does conclude my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions that you may have. And again, I'd like to thank you for your partnership and collaboration along with your staff. It's been a tremendous journey getting to where we are, and we're very excited to complete the journey in the near future. Thank you.
I have no questions.
No questions, but thank you very much for the presentation. It's very exciting to see this starting to come to fruition. And while you correctly pointed out that it's not an agenda item this evening, I would request that staff put that on the agenda, consideration of a MOU or MOA to co-locate the plant on our existing site and to help move forward with that.
I'd just like to echo, too, thank you so much for coming. These are a good, exciting time, so appreciate your program.
Thank you very much. We look forward to seeing you on the 15th.
Okay. So we'll go back to our regular Okay, let me get out. So, Mr. Sweet, would that, putting this the memorandum of understanding on the agenda, is that something that you could would have to put together?
We can put it on items for future consideration at the bottom of technical consultant report, and then you can tell us if you don't. If you want it or don't want it on there.
Okay.
I doubt it will be ready by the next week.
Right,
so
I didn't.
We can certainly put
something
it
we can start looking at.
Okay.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Very good.
Okay, we'll move on now to public comment for items that are not on the agenda.
Julie Tacker, and I don't know if others would have had some questions for Mr. Fine, but I did and wasn't afforded that opportunity. I don't know if you planned not to have public comment.
No, I didn't plan it. I got mixed up. Is there any public comment on the presentation?
Oh, if you don't leave, maybe he'll. Thank you. I appreciate that. I was curious about the location analysis because I don't believe the Coastal Commission is going to allow you to co-locate on the current site of the of your wastewater facility. I don't know that it's wise to do so. You are at the crux of two creeks, and you are 1,800 feet from the shore, and the sea level is rising. Not just rising over the earth, but it's pushing the groundwater back too. So that is rising below the plant. So I don't think it's wise to build any more infrastructure there. That's my personal opinion. I am curious if the EIR analyzes any use of constructed wetlands. And then I think a concern that comes to mind is the concentration of brine that's associated with the new project and what that does to the outflow and ways to dispose of it that wouldn't go in the ocean. So those would be my questions/comment.
Does anyone else have any comments or questions on the presentation by Mr. Fine?
Shirley Gibson Helsian. Yeah, I just wanted to say I really like the name.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay, I'll close the public comment and we'll open up public comment for items not on the agenda.
Did you want me to address the
I thought she just said. Did you?
My questions.
Oh, go ahead.
So, with respect to the Coastal Commission, when you guys went for your permit, you'll recall that the I forgot what the initial recommendation was for the amount of time for your permit, but the Coastal Commission actually extended that time. And the reason why the Coastal Commission did that is because they're very aware of this project and very supportive of this project. And they knew that we, the five cities' communities, would not invest in this project if there wasn't a good chance that we could locate it at your facility. The chance, we are looking at the EIR of an off-site location, which would likely be in Grover Beach or in the county, outside of the Coastal Commission boundary and also outside of the floodplain as a secondary site. That's not the preferred alternative. The preferred alternative is to have it at your site because that's where all the water is. It's already a developed site, so there'll be less of an impact. As far as with respect to sea level rise and flooding, that's all considered in the design and engineering. And if you've been to the City of Pismo Beach Wastewater Treatment Plant, I can't speak about yours because we've only been there twice, but everything's elevated and it's built up in anticipation that there could be some kind of flood or disaster. And should that occur, all the critical infrastructure is elevated above the floodways.
Okay, thank you. Okay, public comment for items not on the agenda.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I would like to ask your board to agendize rescinding the censure of Mayor Hill. As you know, Mayor Hill did not do anything that he was accused of, and that your district, along with the city of Arroyo Grande, spent some $70,000+ investigating. What a total waste of resources. The district should censure Mayor Scholes, as he admits that he did. He didn't use the word meddle. I use the word meddle in personnel matters at your district. You should censure Mary Lucy. You should, as Mr. Hill asked, agendize some sort of rebuttal to her nonsense that she continues to spew around this South County. Two meetings ago in Arroyo Grande, Ms. Lucy went to their podium and told their council that your former superintendent, John Clemens, had falsified data to the state of California, when in fact, Gerhard Huebner, your administrator, falsified data to the state of California in an attempt to get Mr. Clemens in trouble with the state of California. I wrote you a letter and provided some documentation. If you've misplaced it or lost it or want to read it again, let me know. I'd be happy to provide it one more time. Last meeting, are you timing still? Okay. Last meeting, you addressed the cure and correct matter. I am in receipt of your letter. The letter does not reflect the action your board took. The letter only speaks to the nonsense that you didn't take any action. You absolutely did take action in that closed session, and that wasn't the issue. The issue was that you held a meeting outside your district boundaries. You didn't post the agenda properly, but you did agree to redo the meeting. And that is not reflected in the letter that was sent to me and the seven other signatories on the letter. So my last question is, did the district communicate with the district attorney who also wrote a letter to you regarding this cure and correct, regarding the Brown Act violation, and that they actually did send you a letter telling you that you were in violation of state law, and that is the California Brown Act?
Anyone else have public comment?
Hi, I'm Ron Arnelson. I agree with everything that Julie said. The other issue I'd like to bring forward is what Mr. Hill was talking about, and I think this board needs to move forward on a civil suit against Wallace and Associates. It's pretty obvious that they were guilty, and if you'll think back about O.J. Simpson, he wasn't even committed, and he was pretty much slapped silly when it came to a civil suit. I think the same thing applies here. I think you guys need to move forward against John Wallace. There was somewhere near $6 million that kind of disappeared into his company at that point, at that time when he was the administrator here. So please put that on the agenda.
Thank you.
Colleen Kugel, just one last comment about Julie Tacker's comments. We'd just like to say that I also have read the letter, and as far as I'm concerned, and many who have read it, it's whitewashed, all of the actual facts. It's whitewashed.
Well, I have a couple of things. I actually have the letter here. It says, pardon? Oh, Patricia Price. And the letter says, in order to avoid unnecessary litigation and without admitting any violation of the Brown Act, the Board of Directors of the South San Luis Obispo Sanitation District hereby unconditionally commit that it will cease, desist from, and not repeat the challenged past action as described above. And in the letter from the district attorney, the deputy district attorney, it says this letter serves as a notice of violation and a warning that future meetings must occur within the boundaries of the sanitation district. Further violations may result in legal action by this office. So I agree that the letter whitewashed the issue, and I would like to see that corrected in some way, and I wonder if you've responded to the district attorney. And on another note, I was going through my papers this afternoon, and I noticed that I had a note that several years ago, while Gerhard Huebner was the administrator, he and council brought before the board changes in the bylaws. One of the changes was that it would take two votes in our board of three for a director to get anything on the agenda, which I think violates the Brown Act, because then the minority director cannot get anything on the agenda unless the other two directors agree. And I've seen my mayor, our director, repeatedly bring up things he would like put on the agenda to be discussed by the board, who cannot discuss these issues together because that would violate a Brown Act. And these things need to be brought before the public and discussed among the board. One of them is the repudiation of people who, Mary Lucy, who has repeatedly told lies about what's going on in this district. And the five-member board. It would be nice if we brought that to the table and discussed it in the public, get comments from the public. The recovering money from John Wallace, that could be brought before the board. It's been, Mayor Hill has asked that it be brought before the board. So I'm really getting tired of our mayor asking that things be put on the agenda. There's not even a discussion among the board. It's just, let's move on. I really don't think that is has any transparency.
Okay, anyone else have public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Approval of warrants, minutes of April 18th, and the technical consultant and plant operators report. So do you have any questions?
No, I don't.
I'd like to consider the items 5A and 5C separately.
5A and 5C. Okay, so then we'll have we'll vote to approve the meeting minutes of April 18th, and I'll open public comment on just the approval of the minutes for April 18th.
Good evening again, Julie Tacker, and the item 5E during the technical consultants and plant operations report. Ms. Lucy spoke to Brine Disposal and the Cambria CSD, as I did, but she told a completely fabricated story about the Cambria CSD coming to this district and giving a presentation before the board, your board. That never happened. Absolutely never happened. So that is just another example of why the record needs to be set straight. And so I hope you bring the other items, polluting the ocean and falsifying data, bring all that back. And the district needs to correct the record. Later in the meeting, Ms. Lucy did not speak during the Brown Act violation item, but from the audience, and I want the record to reflect this, from the audience, she called me fat ass. And I want that on record, because I want the community of Oceano, Grover Beach, and Arroyo Grande to understand what kind of person who has no couth is continuing to go around this community and say things about me when she absolutely has no manners and no proof other than I do have a derriere. That she could prove. But that's mine, and that is irrelevant to the matters of the district. So what is relevant is when she comes to the podium and lies to you and lies to the public at home and lies to all the people in the community, and nobody of some official needs to set her straight. So that's what I have to comment on the minutes. Thank you.
Any other comments on the minutes?
Madam Chair, if I might make a brief comment. One of our public speakers at the last Arroyo Grande City Council meeting characterized Ms. Lucy's discourse as verbal flatulence, and I think that's accurate.
Okay. Go ahead.
I know we've gone back and forth several times about the content of the minutes, and they still are very poor. I'm not sure why you even invest any time on the minutes. Why don't you just put C, WW, whatever the website is, and let people watch the meeting, because the minutes don't reflect what happens here. Whenever someone speaks, it just says, so-and-so spoke and so-and-so spoke. It doesn't really direct what their comments were about, for or against something, or if they have any validity. So I really think you're just wasting your time with your minutes. Staff time, probably.
Thank you.
Patricia Price again. I wanted to disagree mildly with Ron. I thought the minutes this time had more content, and I was able to look at them and go back to the video with more ease to see exactly what was going on. So I do appreciate that they are improving. I do appreciate that.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. I take issue with Director Hill making comments about a member of the public. Mary Lucy is a member of the public, and I don't think it's anyone's place on the board to publicly criticize a person. Thank you.
Again, if I might briefly respond, I'll remind the speaker that Ms. Lucy was a director of this organization and has not comported herself as one would expect a director to do.
Okay, we're going to approval of minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes of April 18, 2018?
A second.
Okay.
Discussion?
Discussion, yes. Okay.
I see references in the minutes to letters that were received from the district attorney. Nowhere in the agenda packet that is referenced by these minutes, nor attached to the minutes, is the letter from the district attorney. And while purportedly copies of said letter were handed out at the last meeting, again, they were never attached to any business of this board, and I'm wondering where those copies are and when they will be presented here officially and attached to either the minutes or the board agenda packet, so that perhaps posted on our website so that the public can be made more aware of it. Many times we've been chastised for the lack of sunshine that is unfortunately afflicts this district, and also are we endeavoring to respond to the district attorney's letter? I've seen no indication of a response. There was apparently a letter sent to some members of the public. That's not attached here either. So I think the minutes are making open-ended references that have no identifiable basis. If someone were to look into the matter on the video or any other location.
Mr. Sweet, do you have any comment on
the letter that was sent to the members of the public was directly approved by the board at the last meeting as part of the agenda packet. It was directly approved by the board. The other letter was our understanding from reviewing the minutes that at least the directors concurred that placing it.
Microphone.
That placing it available for the public and noting it on the minutes was going to be acceptable. If that's not acceptable, I will take direction from the remainder of the board, from the board as a whole.
Do you have any comment on that?
I have no.
I think it's fine the way it is.
Yeah, we all read the letter. We know what it was about. It was made public to the people here.
Was there supposed to be a response to the district attorney? I think.
No, there's no requirement that we respond.
Thank you. Okay, so we're back to the all in favor of the approval of the minutes of April 18th. Say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
No.
Okay, carries 2-1. Okay, so now we'll go do the warrants, 5A.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I note that Aramark Uniforms, which I believe is the cleaning service for our uniforms, is a bill for $945, which seems to me to be unusually expensive for that service. Is there an explanation for that?
Do you have an explanation for that?
Let me see what the was. I'm not aware that that's heavily is much more than usual. I don't know that that's a monthly charge either. I think that's probably. Let me see what the.
It looks like there's several numbers there, but I wanted to clarify what that is.
Amy tells me that it covers the safety awards were also paid for through this issuance of this warrant. So that's in addition to the cleaning costs.
Okay, thank you for the explanation. I note that two board members are on here to be paid for attending a meeting that the district attorney advised was illegal. I don't think that that's appropriate.
Do you want to comment?
I'll address that to council.
So there is no prohibition on compensating a board member for attending a meeting that wasn't properly noticed under the Brown Act. The board can certainly elect to do that, but there's no requirement that payment be disallowed.
So noted, Council. Mr. Trujillo has $11,155 for the month of March, which seems to me I would expect normally to see and routinely have seen in the past a couple thousand dollars for legal counsel in a month. This is a fairly outrageously large bill, and I've asked to see itemization that hasn't been afforded me. So can we have an explanation of why these legal bills continue to be so high?
Of course, the itemized bills are confidential, so I can't really address that. I would ask that Gil would probably be better to advise you as to why his bill is so is higher than you believe is usual.
I also note that Mr. Karp has a bill for $13,000 for the month of, well, it looks like 2 weeks from March 16th. No, I guess it's a month, middle of March to middle of April. And that may be within the realm of our agreement, provided that he spent a lot of time at the plant, I guess. And then I also noticed that we have $2,600 and some in temporary labor expenses. What is that for?
That is for assistance we have with preparing the agendas.
My.
Is it just the agendas? Is there other office?
There's other office issues also. Right. But I think the quality of the agendas have certainly risen over the last year or so, and I think that there's a large part of that being addressed.
The billing from legal counsel continues to concern me gravely. It's part of a pattern of conduct that we've seen here that exceeds over the last about a year, $350,000 of charges that were never brought to the board other than in, not for pre-approval certainly, seems to be self-appointed work at the expense of the ratepayers, and tying this to something that's going to come later on the agenda, which is our budget review. I note that what's being charged for these kinds of excessive billing looks to be our redundancy project, which is doubly troubling to me. So, absent some exceptional explanations, I don't believe I'm going to be able to support this tonight.
Okay, do we have public comment on the warrants?
Good evening, Julie Tacker again, and I too am struck by the Gil Trujillo invoice for $11,155.50 because every 50 cents counts. I believe, maybe they're in a folder somewhere, the warrants and the invoices, the actual checks, should be here for somebody to sign tonight. And I challenge you to actually open those up and look at those invoices and see the detail in which you are spending the people's money. Look through those invoices. I know I did when I was a director. And it, while the board may approve the actual final... Are you laughing, Linda? What are you laughing at?
Would you please move on?
Do you want to speak?
You don't have any say over what I do or say at this podium. None of you do. So I don't have to move on. Ms. Austin is laughing.
I am not
at
laughing.
Me.
Will you please finish your comment?
You're not laughing.
Am I laughing? Do your comment, or are you just going to sit down?
I don't have to sit down either. I have
well,
3 minutes.
Well, then you can stand there all night.
I can. I can stand
here for
3 minutes.
Do your public comment,
yes,
please.
Yes, I can. Thank you very much. The point is that you need to be looking at all the expenditures and scrutinizing the bills for your public. The idea that temporary labor is to help make the agendas better and that they're somehow better now than they were a year ago, hell yeah. You had a year and a half of Gerhard Huebner who couldn't spell and couldn't put anything together grammatically. He couldn't even speak. So yeah, they're better. But they shouldn't come at a cost when you have a full-time bookkeeper, I forgot your title, bookkeeper, secretary, who is trained, is skilled, and the very agendas that you talk about being better were under Mr. Sweet's direction a year and a half before that. And they were fine. So I find that statement to be ludicrous. The high cost of Mr. Sweet and Mr. Karp lies squarely on the shoulders of Mr. Huebner. This is collateral damage that they have to clean up from Mr. Huebner's term in office. And that then reflects on the board, who tried to save him, tried to keep him, fell in line with his gains investigating the mayor of Arroyo Grande. My time is just about up.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. So I wanted to follow up on a couple points of the last speaker criticizing Mr. Trujillo's bills and other costs that the district incurs. And so when we're talking about money, whose money are we talking about? The ratepayers living within the district boundary are the bank. Okay, we put the money in, and then we direct you, the board, on how we want it spent. The board is accountable to the ratepayers. Anyone is welcome and can make a public comment, but an opinion about district finances given by a non-ratepayer has a lot less value. Anyone that lives outside of the district does not have the same standing. They have zero investment in the district. They bear zero risk in the district. All of us that are ratepayers, we bear the burden if something goes wrong. So in my opinion, a non-ratepayer has no risk, no investment, no standing. And I want the board to remember who is speaking to them and support us, the ratepayers. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
I'm glad, Colin Kubel. I'm glad that Shirley identified that she wasn't a ratepayer also, because it was talking to her also. And so my question is, how can this board justify $2,600 for somebody outside doing the agendas? And why
is Amy not able to do her job as she did it before? That's a big question that all of us want to know. We would save so much money if she was just allowed to do her job. And why would this board approve, which I hope you're not going to, $2,600 for what? A couple agendas a month and special meetings. How could you justify that? Yes, they're better. But how could you justify it?
Patricia Price, and as a bona fide ratepayer of this district, I'm very, very concerned about what's going on. I'm very concerned about the high legal costs. I'm very concerned about the part-time help that we're paying. I'm very concerned about many, many things that are going on in this district, and I do not see this board attending to my concerns. My concerns are growing. They're not slacking off because I see things being attended to. I don't trust what's going on. I thank Mayor Hill for his concerns and for him voicing his concerns. And I really don't like to see him being constantly voted down by the two other members of the board. And I appreciate Julie Tacker for putting her time and energy into researching and finding out a lot of the things that she's brought forward. You're not going to find that she's not telling the truth or she's inaccurate. She's right on.
Ron Arnoldson, I am a ratepayer, and I agree with, I support Julie Tacker and everything she said, whether she lives in the district or not. I don't think Shirley lives in the district either. She may be a ratepayer, but I don't think she lives in the district. Julie's right on with what she says. She does her homework. She's always pretty factful. She's not only a...
We're talking about the warrants.
That's right. I'm talking about the warrants, and I'm talking about what she said about the warrants. I think that your attorney is worthless. For $11,000, what's he done? You don't know. You don't look at his bills that I'm aware of. He hides things so that they're not in the agenda, like the letter from the district attorney. Doesn't want that to be transparent, does he? That will make him look bad because he is bad, and you need to really realize what a piece of work he is. The other thing about the warrants I'm talking about is Amy should be able to do this. She did it with John and previously in the future, and we didn't have to pay for outside work. And speaking of Huebner, we're paying $2,400 a month to him for what? You should have dumped him, and he shouldn't be getting $2,400 per perpetuity. And I agree. $11,000 for a gill is just money down the toilet. I guess that's about it.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. So we're going to... We'll vote now for get a motion to approve the warrants.
Madam Chair, I'll move to disapprove the warrants. Specifically, warrants number 2940, 2957, 2950, 2967, 2967.
Okay, well, that was a motion. Black's first. There's no second on that. Okay, so can I get a motion to... Anyone want to make another motion on the warrant?
I move that we accept the warrants as presented with the caveat that we look into the whims and the whys of temporary labor services and The Huebner payments, is that, because I don't know whether that's an ongoing thing or not. This is the first I've seen one. And that's my proposal.
Okay, I'll second that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Emphatically no.
Thank you. Okay. We're going to move on to item 6B, the fiscal year 2017-18 third quarter budget review.
Madam Chair, if I may, we still have the technical consultants and plan operations report.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. I'm sorry. Yeah, 5C.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Typically, we have had in the past the technical consultants and plant operations report presented by the technical consultants or district administrator and the chief plant operator. And that's typically, over many, many years, been orally presented so that members of the board are updated on recent events and can ask questions of the staff on the reports, including the chief plant operator, and for the benefit of the public, so that what we're doing here is not secreted from our constituents. And I'm concerned to see this become a consent agenda item that doesn't present any new information and is not informative to the public. Specifically, I have some questions about the headworks. The discharge is now meeting requirements, but work is proceeding. What is the status of our headworks project currently? I know we've had major problems with that. What is the status of that currently?
Would you like to answer that, Mr. Smith?
It'd be my pleasure. I'd like to tell you that project is moving along successfully. We were extremely discouraged 6 months ago. I would have not, I'd have thought we were going to be accumulating legal bills on that project. But the contractor and the supplier have been extremely cooperative, and they have made some major adjustments to the project and made some significant repairs to items that weren't quite working right, and the discharge is now up to standard. There's some minor punch list items that have to be taken care of, and when those are taken care of, we'll be asking the board to act on a notice of completion. So I think that's a success that we've occurred through just diligence and keeping at it.
Thank you very much. I would agree with that, and I think we should celebrate those types of achievements here when we have them. Another reason I'd like to see this report better publicized than it is. Raising manholes to the grade. Plans are under review by district personnel prior to finalizing. I've noted that Mr. Huebner, when he was here, was advised prior to this work happening on Valley Road and apparently did nothing about it. Where are we at on that? Are we just at the planning stage right now? Or
no, there's draft plans before our staff to review. And once those are reviewed, they will be finalized and we will be putting the project out to bid. The project estimate now is in the $25,000 range, so it's not in the range that requires us to call for bids at a board meeting, and we can just solicit quotes for that. That project, actually, those notifications happened in July of 2016, not July of 2017, but regardless, it really makes no difference because the project, they can advise us, but we'd still have to raise them to grade. So the outcome is essentially the same.
Okay, thank you. I see we still have there's a lot of old material in here, such as the discussion of a membrane bioreactor. I'm not sure how that works with the discussion on Central Coast Blue that we just heard.
That's kind of one of the reasons we left it in, because that discussion was ongoing regarding what we were going to see tonight, and I thought it was important for the board to still have that before them.
Okay. Regarding the brine issues, have we compared the practices used by our district to standards, all of the various items that are discussed in the staff report here?
I spoke to the superintendent about that just today, and I believe that's an ongoing thing. It's a fair amount of research, and he's trying to do the best job possible to make sure that we're doing an adequate job of that evaluation.
Okay, thank you. Those are my questions.
Okay. Do you have any questions on that? Have this candidate selection interviews been set up on the laboratory tech yet?
Yes, those interviews are scheduled to happen the week of May 14th.
Okay. What is the latest information from Glenn Burdett on the 2015-16 audit?
We have received confirmation that a partner from Glenn Burdett will be here at the next meeting to present the audit.
Okay. That's all I have.
I think it might be a good idea to take this off the consent agenda and have it out so we can ask questions and talk mm-hmm. about it. I know it used to be that way. Sometimes we would have the plant operator be here, so something we can look into is moving that along so we can get a highlight and then questions we can ask questions so it doesn't have to be pulled every time.
Yeah, I think that's a good suggestion.
Okay, so public comment on the technical, or did I do that?
Julie Tacker, and under the regional collaboration item, there for several months, what was old on became old on here was that PISMO was developing a memorandum of agreement, and now that item has been removed from that discussion, or I'm not seeing it, one or the other, not sure, but now you're asking for a memorandum of understanding to be brought forth. So somewhere there's already a draft. I never got an answer. I would love to have some of your board discuss the Cambria brine disposal permit and the board's awareness of that, and I really did think that that permit was going to come to the board for your review because there was a lot of discussion about it. I, too, look for the superintendent to come back. I would like to ask, it's been a year or more ago, there was some discussion about purchasing a washer and dryer for the staff, the operational staff, because of spills or dirt or mud or whatever. But one thought I had when it was really, really raining was that their jackets would get soaked if they were outdoors working. And to be able to come inside during lunch and pop that jacket in a dryer would be nice, you know. And I know that that was something that they might actually really be able to use. Another thing that's been on this agenda, on this report for several months, is with regard to the centrifuge repair. And thank you, Mr. Sweet, for sending me the purchase order. What struck me was that an agreement to repair the centrifuge has been executed per district purchasing guidelines. So, I asked for the contract, and really this is not what I expect a contract to be, but there is a purchase order for repairs and sort of a quote from a company called Centratech. And I'm sure they're a good firm, I'm sure they're doing good work, all of that. What I'm concerned about is that it didn't follow the district's purchasing guidelines. The district has strict guidelines. If I'm wrong, I'm sure you'll tell me. But I asked, number one, and I haven't gotten the answer. Maybe you'll follow up. Did that go out to bid? And not necessarily an RFP or any of that, but my understanding from the purchasing policy is that at least some quotes be gotten. I think three. But what is important is that the board of directors of the district shall approve all services in excess of $25,000. This contract, this agreement, is for $26,162. Now, it's $1,162 more than $25,000. But if you have rules and you have guidelines, then why don't you follow them? And I believe the $25,000 number is actually in the government code. Somewhere there's a code that speaks to that number. So this was entered into under the leadership of Mr. Karp and Mr. Sweet, and I'm sure Mr. Sweet can explain. Thank you.
Any other public comment on this? Seeing none, is there, do you have anything to say?
Just that there are quotes. Ms. Tacker asked for those quotes 2 days ago. We haven't got them to her yet because there's still a fair amount of time remaining on her time to respond to her. I believe the original quotes, I'd have to check, were under that threshold, and this is not a public works contract, so it does not come under the public works contract code. This is a repair of an item. The repair is happening off-site, so it'd be like having your car repaired or a piece of machine. It is a piece of machinery that's being repaired off-site, so it's not a public works contract, so it doesn't have to adhere to the public works contract code.
Okay, thank you.
Does it not have to conform with our purchasing guidelines?
I'm going, once again, the original quotes, I believe, were under $25,000, and we had some repair that was required that brought that above that amount. I'm going to have to check on that to make sure, but I believe that's what the information I had.
Thank you, Mr. Sweet. Okay. Anything else? Any no other public comment? Okay, so can I get a motion?
That's a receive and file.
Pardon me?
That's a yes, right. Receive and file.
Got it. Okay. We're going to move on now to the budget. So, Mr. Sweet, do you want to introduce the...
Sure. It'd be my pleasure.
The budget review.
Good evening, Chair Austin, a member of the board, members of the board. The district is presenting the third quarter review to provide the board a view of the district's revenue and expenditures. We've made recommendations on budget adjustments to reflect actual expenditures, and we are asking for input for formulation. With this information before you, we're asking for some broad input for formulation of next year's budget. A draft of next year's budget is being prepared now, and we will present, based on your input tonight, a budget before you next meeting. Amy has been critical in preparing this item for us and will assist me in answering questions on the line items.
Okay, thank you. Do you want to talk about this first before public comment? Or do you want to do public comment first?
We can certainly do public comment. I didn't know if Mr. Sue was going to discuss it in any more detail.
I think we can just go ahead. Let's just do public. We'll go ahead and open up to public comment now, and then we'll bring it back and discuss it afterwards if there's any public comment.
Can we hear your comment
first? Sure. You want to go? We'll go ahead and do it first. I'll go ahead and add. Barbara, do you want to start? Do you have any questions on them?
I don't have any specific questions at this time because I'm not familiar enough with the different accounts and the histories of them, and I need to schedule some time in the office to get details on how the accounts fit together.
All right.
But I think it's very positive from what I'm seeing.
Okay. I have some questions. Actually, what should I do with my? Why don't you go ahead? I made some notes here. I'm not sure what you want to go. Do you have questions to ask?
I have a few questions. For 19-6030 plant operators, we're proposing an increase of $70,300. We have about half the operating staff we had a year ago. I'm confused why we're needing an increase there.
Maybe you want to get that microphone? And you can both have one, or you can share it.
I think that funds to pay for our separation agreement comes out of that money, so that's reflected in those expenditures.
Another poor decision. Secretary bookkeeper, same question. We're proposing a $10,000 increase.
This is for some service that were supplemental during. This is for some supplemental services that occurred in the earlier part of this year, fiscal year.
Same comment as above. Temporary labor services. This is for a third quarter adjustment. Why is that an ongoing? Why are we more than doubling the budget on this going forward?
I think there were also supplemental services which were required in the earlier part of this year that we now have kind of, we're trying to set the agenda and some other items to a higher professional level. I don't know that those services will be ongoing forever, but that's something that we've done as we've tried to bring ourselves back up to speed in that area.
Can you give me two examples?
Can I give you two examples of
those services you were alluding to?
I think we are talking about preparation of items for board presentation. The agendas are the ones of most note, but there have been other items also that come before you. First of all, pretty much all items that are presented to the board undergo that higher level of review so that the formatting is consistent. The grammar is correct, and I think we've been taking a concerted effort to upgrade what the board receives as far as documentation.
First of all, thank you for the obviously higher quality of the reports. However, I don't see that $12,000 is at all justifiable for some of the material that's been presented to the board. I tend to look at that as it has been continuously in the past as kind of a level of effort. Permits, fees, and licenses, a $10,000 increase over a $25,000, that's a 30-odd percent increase in permits, fees, and licenses. Why is that?
That reflects the fines that we received for the last 3 years, which the board approved at a prior meeting, of $9,000.
Permits, fees, and license. I'm not sure that the title of this fund accurately reflects then what we're proposing to do with it. I think of that as permits to operate, operator license certificates, those types of things, rather than fines.
Was direct result of our NPDES permit. So I'm not sure where you would like it to come from or what would be a more appropriate spot in the line.
Well, obviously we need to pay the fines. I'm just perhaps we could investigate having another fund under Fund 19 for
fines.
For fines, absolutely. For compliance issues of that nature. Professional services attorney fee. Our existing budget is unconscionable, $96,000, and we're proposing a $62,000 increase. No way. Absolutely no way. What we've seen here over the past year and more is self-appointed aggrandizement of attorneys. Self-appointed work without board approval, and it's unconscionable. It's unconscionable to ask us for this. It's unconscionable for us to impose this on the ratepayers, and I cannot support that.
I'd just like to note that this isn't a proposal. This is just a reflection of the expenditures that happened today. So it doesn't really... You don't have, I mean, proving of these items only reflects what the actual expenditures have occurred, what the actual expenditures have been. It's not saying they're right, it's not saying they're wrong, it just reflects what they've been so that it's transparent to the rest of to the public so they can see where the money's been spent. I mean, the money has been spent, so now we are just trying to figure out the best way to relay those expenditures for the public to see what they've been.
So we're 3/4 of the way through the year. There's 25% of the year left. How much more do you expect? If this number is only what's been expended to date, how much more of these unconscionable charges are we going to see in the last quarter?
You project,
and why isn't that amount reflected here?
I think we projected $10,000 for a month for total in-house attorney fees for the last 3 months, which we have experienced over the first 9 months. Over the first 9 months, we experienced
Well, on the warrants that were approved tonight is over $10,000 for a month.
House attorneys. Just a second. It's on your sheet. Just a second. It's on page 1 of 3, item 6B,
and we have spent $128,075.50 to date. I'm not sure if that includes the warrant from, this does not include the $11,000 request for payment this last time.
So again, what we're doing here is making course corrections to the budget that are supposed to get us through the end of the year.
I mean, that's one way of looking at it. The other way is to look at, this is reflecting what the actual expenditures are. So, it's up to the board to make that determination. We're not necessarily defining, we're not saying you should spend more money on attorneys, I don't think, or counsel. I don't think that's something that we're asking. We're just reflecting what we're seeing and accounting for what's already been spent.
Yeah, and I guess having voted against these types of charges for months, I guess the responsibility for this goes on prior members of this board. And I guess I want to know, our attorney who's provided us, notably I'm not talking about legal counsel who's here tonight, I want to make that very clear, but our legal counsel to date has advised us poorly on meetings outside the district's boundaries and some other things, but this kind of number is higher than the city budget for legal fees. This is a single-purpose district. This is absolutely unconscionable.
Can I ask?
These bills came, you know, district purchasing policy and all. These bills were never approved in advance by the board, only after the fact, by 2-1 votes.
Once again, I'm not debating any of that with you. I'm just reflecting the expenditures that have occurred.
May I ask you a question, Jim? You want to put on the agenda to go after John Wallace. Do you think that's not going to cost lawyer fees? Do you know every time there's a public records request that comes through that has to be redacted or looked at by the lawyer, has to get it, that doesn't cost? So, you know, it's like you complain about
we
fees,
can,
but...
We can... What I'm asking for, this is off the subject, but since you brought it up...
You always complain about legal fees, but then you insist on wanting to sue someone.
First of all, we've not sued anybody at this point, and we may decide not to. What I've asked for in that case is a discussion for this board to have.
And we'd have to have the lawyer
other members of the board.
I would like to bring the board back to topic,
right, I'm just saying that it's just so ludicrous.
Thank you, Mr.
Sweet. That we're hearing. I just couldn't help myself. I'm sorry. Go ahead,
the
Mr.
comments. I'm
so
glad.
Excuse me back there, please. We're talking up here.
I'm disappointed to hear that you think that $158,000 in legal fees is somehow okie dokie.
I don't think it's okie dokie, but it's there. It happened. So, you know.
And my point is, I think it happened without advance notice to this board. And
can we maybe stick with the,
right,
the line items? We'd be glad to provide explanation on the line items, the policy or how those occurred. I mean, that's. I think we.
Human resources, moving on then to 7076. 20,000 is our budget. We're now asking 35,000 more.
I think there's a couple things that you were not anticipating when the budget occurred that fell upon the board. One of those was we negotiated an agreement with didn't have a union. We did have a union, and we had to negotiate terms with that union, and that required us to bring in some help to help us with that. And I think a lot of that is reflected in that. We also have redone the PPM
and which you're reviewing presently. And I think that may be that's not what caused us to be over. I think some of that was anticipated within the budget. But I think the negotiating for the contract with SEIU, I think that was something that was not anticipated when the original budget was prepared.
Okay. Is there a particular project or some reason that our engineering...
I think that's where your technical consultants are billed out of, and that's the majority of that cost.
Okay. Fiscal services.
I think those were... that is bookkeeping services that occurred during Amy's absence. Those services should be concluded this week, actually. And so this is just a reflection of what has happened already today.
So Amy's been back now for some time. I'm just confused as to why this ongoing charge.
Well, I'm not going to get into a personnel discussion. I am going to say that the services for the physical consultant will be concluding this week.
Thank you.
The utility bills, electric bills up 20%, gas bill up 40%, trash collection up 85%, water up 80%. I pay these kinds of bills routinely, and I haven't seen those kinds of increases.
Well, the rubbish bill is up largely due to what's happened at the discharge of our headworks. We got a large amount of increase in discharge at our headworks that had to be handled specially. So that's what's happening there. The gas bill's gone up because we've had a boiler issue in regards to some of this is a response to what's happened with the digester being repaired. Digester gas was produced. That digester gas then fed the boiler, and the boiler then heats the water for processing. With the digester down, there was no digester gas, so we had to purchase gas commercially. Okay. So that's that. The electrical, I'm not sure what the direct reason is behind that. Do you know anything about that, Amy? And the plant chemicals, which I... is up some, but with the varying of plant operations, it's not because of something with the digester down. There's been some varying of plant operations. So while I'm not happy about that, it's not outrageous. I don't think the number is outrageous, out of line, percentage-wise.
Okay. Those are all reasonable explanations that I would request that we kind of keep an eye on those charges, because they've apparently escalated considerably, and so we should expect them to come back to what our original projections were after the digester work is done, and hopefully those will come back and we can keep an eye on it in the meantime. My final concern on here is, where are we going to get all this money from? And we're taking it out of the redundancy project. And the redundancy project was a separate rate increase that was advertised to our ratepayers to pay for the much-needed redundancy project. As Mr. Fine indicated, it's part of the preparation that's necessary for us to go forward with consideration of Central Coast Blue, and I've previously asked this board to account for this money in a separate fund, but it looks like we're already raiding the redundancy fund to pay for essentially attorney's fees.
I think the It would be, it's not that this money won't be spent for the redundancy project. It's that this money won't be spent for the redundancy project this year. What's happened is we will not see design expenses incurred this year for that amount. But you will notice we did get a pretty good size bill from Koenig Jenks this time, because they are getting ready to prepare 30% design drawings and submit them to us in June. So that project is moving ahead quickly and with great effort. So it's not that this money won't be spent on redundancy projects. It just won't be spent this year.
Let me take issue with that statement. This money will not be spent on redundancy project. It'll be spent on attorney's fees and all of these other increase items that are listed here, painful line by painful line. They will not be spent on the redundancy project. In other words, they're not going to be carried over to next year for further application to the redundancy project once we get the design in hand. They're going to be spent this year on these items. That's what I find very troubling.
You can choose. We could look at other items that you would like to defer, but generally those are items of capital maintenance that are available, that money hasn't been spent on this year, but we are planning, of course, to do those capital maintenance projects. So, once again, this is an effort to accurately depict to the public where the money has been spent, not necessarily... there are things I sure would like to see done differently, but this is actually what has occurred. So,
and I realize that you inherited part of this, but relatively early on in the fiscal year, the increase that we're asking here, is that projected to carry us through the end of this fiscal year?
Yes, that's that was the purpose of these numbers. So, is to project what we believe would occur in the remainder of the fiscal year and add dollars enough to carry us through the end of the fiscal year.
Outside counsel litigation, here's another one, more than 10%. That's in addition to the attorney's fees. How much more are we planning to spend on that this year? I guess how much more...
What have we spent so far?
How much more are we planning to spend on both of those line items this year?
We're not planning on spending any more. $9,000 reflects the increase, the costs that have been incurred to date.
Okay. For 7071, how much of that reflects what's been spent to date and how much is projection for the future?
I believe that's around $10,000 a month is what has been projected.
Question, why are we projecting $10,000 a month in attorney's fees from now out?
Well, I think it's based largely as being an engineer and projecting dollars and trying to cut the expenses to date. What you see is funds that have been expended to date of $158,000 divided by 9 months. So you're in the $15,000 to $16,000 range for what's been spent on an average monthly basis, and we have just taken those numbers and tried to reduce them by to 2/3 of that number. So,
let me suggest that hasn't worked up until now, and I don't see any reason to expect that it would work going forward. I think we need a more active intervention to reduce those costs. That also indicates to me that the $62,000 has already been spent. And so let me ask the question again.
No, the $62,000 has not been spent. The $62,000, what we spent to date on that item, once again, table.
It's $158,000.
No, that's the recommended budget.
What's that?
$128,075 so far in the first 9 months. So it was projected at $10,000 a month for the last remaining months to get the $158,000.
Okay. And typical districts of this nature spend a couple grand a month on legal fees. Why are we projecting $10,000 a month in legal fees from now on out?
Once again,
this exceeds the city's budget for legal fees. We do a whole lot more in the city than a single-purpose district here.
Once again, this is not a reflection of what I want it to be. It's a reflection of an average and us projecting among the average about what the actual costs have been.
What are we doing to rein in these costs? What active intervention are we proposing to turn this around?
I think that's up to the board to.
Well, if it was up to me, I'd say no.
Well, it's. I think the board knows the council's the council has reacted to items that have confronted the council, confronted the board, and maybe there's a feeling that was done wrong, but that's by at least one board member. But this is not my discussion.
That's focusing on the past. I want to know what we're doing going forward.
The council does not work for us. The council works directly for the board. So I can't, it's not up to me to, I do not control council.
That is correct and so noted, and I appreciate the comment. I hope it isn't lost on some others. Those are my comments, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Okay, I have a few questions. I know that you went right down the line on the one page, so I got those answered. I wanted to know on the Exhibit A on page 6, item 6B, is the COGEN.
Yes, the board, we had a number of years ago, in the 10-year-ago range, the district had invested in a facility to take digester gas and produce electricity. They had financed that over a 20-year period. It was approximately $700,000. And the board asked for us to pay the final payment on that. And this reflects a payment above the annual payment, because 37.5 was the annual payment, and the board, is my understanding, directed us to pay the final payment, which was $37,300, and we no longer have a debt to on that anymore.
Okay, thank you. And then on the profit and loss statement, attachment 1 for the account 19, on professional services engineering. No, it wasn't. The chemical analysis. The budget was 13, and it was 21,000 spent, and it was an over budget of 8,000. So, can you?
Yes, the explain the how that district's lab was out of service for about 6 months due to repair of the physical facilities, and this reflects the increased cost of having outside an analytic firm prepare their lab results.
Okay. And then the solid handling, that was quite a bit over budget.
Yes, that reflects taking the digester down. Once again, you see the digester has increased our costs in a number of areas.
and that is the solids that came out of the digester had to be processed.
Oh, okay. I guess that was... Does that have to do with this, the... No, the centrifuge rental, that's all part of... Because that was way... It looks like it's gone on for a long time.
Yes, the centrifuge rental is... as Ms. Tecker noted, our centrifuge is being repaired. We had got a additional centrifuge, a rental centrifuge, to supplement our solids handling during the digester repair, and we've kept that over during the period that our digester is being repaired.
Okay.
That our centrifuge is being repaired, excuse me.
And then, oh, that wasn't, that's okay. Okay, well, so I got all the questions on the operator and the bookkeeper. I had that, and the temporary labor services, the legal bills. So, taking the money, you have it proposed to take it out of the redundancy project. And I don't, I think, let's see. I don't know if there's anything else I have. I guess those was all the questions I had on this. So I guess now we can open up to public comment. Do you have anything else to add, Mr. Sweet?
No.
Anybody, Jim?
Just one item on item 6B, attachment 1, page 2 of 3, 17A103, cart tires, $106. I don't see anything wrong with that, but why do we have a $5,000 budget for cart tires?
I'm assuming that we projected that all our carts would need new tires, and we decided that they haven't needed new tires yet.
Okay.
So it's a positive.
We need all the good news we can get.
Is there any public comment now on the budget adjustment, the budget review?
Ron Arnoldson, I do appreciate the transparency. It's pretty transparent that whoever put the budget together in the first place really didn't do a very good job. To overspend by $500,000, that's quite a reflection on the previous people that put the budget together. In the past, when there was necessary budget expenses that were coming up, seems like the district administrator would bring it forward and do some kind of a budget amendment or change before spending $500,000. Let's see. I'm losing my train of thought. But anyway, I know that when district was run by... a grade 4 plant superintendent. We were under budget for that entire year. And it seemed like a lot of stuff got taken care of. A lot of things were taken care of at the plant. Legal fees. I think part of that legal fee going, ongoing thing stemmed from those investigations. Personnel investigations still trickling downhill because we can't seem to find a put our secretary / treasurer or whatever Amy's doggone job is again into full-time works yet because who knows why, those investigations. But once again, we're blaming the cost of legal fees on public records requests, and it would seem to be that a lot of those public record requests wouldn't have to go to an attorney. I don't think that's brain surgery. I think someone can look at public records, and if there's a name in there that needs to be redacted, it seemed like the secretary could do that. I don't think $150, $175 a person an hour needs to really do that. So, you know, we're kind of blaming different things on different people, but it seems like a lot of things that have happened in court, even going back to the investigation on Mr. Hill, are still coming down, costing us money at this point, and with the legal fees and with extra people and et cetera, et cetera. Just really disappointing to see that a district would go $500,000 over budget, and the fact that they have a redundancy project that's like got some money out there that's like a cash cow or a license to steal, that's not the right place for that money to go. There is there are specific things for that that money to be spent on. That should be a separate entity, a separate fund, just like Mr. Hill says, so we can see where it's drawn, being drawn from. Water funds are like that. Sewer fund, I mean, the district, the cities have those type of funds, and they're, I'm trying to think what they're called, but they are a specific fund, and that's really what should be taken. That should be what happens with our redundancy funds. Thank you.
Julie Tacker and Mr. Sweet opened the item with you asking you to make a budget adjustment to reflect actual expenditures. And that's what you've just gone through, is the heartburn of hearing that this money has been spent. It went through the warrants that you all, not you all, two board members approved for the most part. Mr. Hill has voted no on almost every warrant packet that I can recall, because he was watching those dollars slip away. When you run a district and you see that you're going to go over budget, it is practice, it is good practice, to ask permission before asking for forgiveness. And that's what's happening tonight. It's Mr. Sweet is asking for forgiveness. Not that this is all on his plate, because if you go back to February 7th, when you had a mid-year in front of you, the numbers then were almost exactly the same, but the technical consultant presenting that night didn't attach a resolution for you to actually amend the budget to reflect those expenditures at that time. And that was February 7th, and all three of you were there, and all three of you received and filed, because that's all that you were asked to do with it. So I don't know why Ms. Nichols is coming up to speed. You were there. You've been through these funds and should have some understanding already. In fact, what I see is that this is poor budgeting from the very beginning. And Mr. Hill objected over and over and over again as Mr. Huebner put forward that budget. And there was pushback from Mr. Huebner. And as you'll recall, he came back a couple of months.
I'm tired, okay?
I'm sorry you're tired.
Give your public comment.
I'm trying to, and you're gasping for air or something. I don't know what you're doing, Linda. So, Mr. Huebner presented a poor budget. Your board adopted a budget that couldn't have stayed on track. You have done three budget adjustments, one being very big. Ms. Nichols, your signature's on, not signature, but you did vote.
3 minutes are up.
And you interrupted me.
3 minutes are up.
Yeah, $466,200, you might remember.
3 minutes are up.
For the digester.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. And for clarification for everyone, I live in Halcyon. I live within the OCSD district, and I am also a ratepayer in Arroyo Grande several times over. So again, I want to address the last speaker that is a non-ratepayer with no standing, no investment, and no risk. So I want the board to keep that in mind, that the ratepayer's role. Thank you. And as far as all of these costs, I think a lot of them are the result of the transition during and after the departure of Mr. Huebner. I think they're a reality, and that we just need to go forward and figure out how to deal with it. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Seeing none, we will bring it back to the board. And do we have anyone want to make a motion on this?
Well, discussion first.
Excuse me.
We've been urged to, you know, just...
Excuse me, Jim. Can I make a comment here? Would you please let us do our deliberations up here? I've been sitting here listening to you all night.
What did I say?
I just...
Tell me what I said.
I can't hear your exact words. Just, I want order in the room now.
If you set the example.
Go ahead, Jim.
Thank you. We've been asked to just accept the status quo and move on. But I want to know, before I approve something like this, what concrete steps we're taking to stop the bleeding.
Mr. Sweet, do you have an answer for that? I mean, it's...
I think Ms. Packer indicated that these increases are not substantially more than what you saw increases that occurred in the first half of the year. I think while we have made payments on outside legal counsel, I don't think that we've incurred expenses of outside legal counsel beyond what was rolling when we got here. And if you know Mr. Tarp and myself, we're kind of frugal. So we, some have referred to us as cheap. So I think that we are very much trying to keep those expenses in line. If you will remember when we were here before, those expenses were much closer. We also had surpluses at the end of the year. This is unfortunate. There are unfortunate things that happen here. I hate to blame somebody else for that or the conditions that existed before we got here, but there wasn't a lot that I don't know that could have been taken to alter those conditions at that time. I think there may have been some projection in the budgeting that could have been a little better. I wasn't part of those discussions. I don't know how those numbers were arrived at, so I can't tell you exactly why those projections occurred. Some of the things, like $9,000 for a fine, I would never budget that because I would hope that we could avoid that. So those expenses are unanticipated. Is there the items like human resources? I'd like to tell you that never happens, but there's demands of the board that need to be addressed, and there's things that come up in this case that we didn't know about. What I think I would like to have seen myself do better is have, during each quarter review, you to see this in a similar format to this, to be advised about what the progress was as time went on. This is typically the way I think you see most agencies operate. There were many discussions about fiscal issues, but I think this is the one, the way to present these issues in a way that's comprehensible to both the public and the board. And this is, we're now here. And I think this is just a reflection of the expenditures that occurred, not a broad policy statement about whether or not they should or should not.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, I didn't mean to imply that Mr. Sweet or Mr. Karp had prepared the original budget, which obviously at this point was inadequate. Nor, as Mr. Sweet indicated, did they have any responsibility for the legal fees that had largely been committed at that time, but there is one thing I think staff might do is be aware of issues that may involve legal involvement. And what we had here, quite frankly, was a make-work situation of by and for attorneys. And I want to make sure that that doesn't happen again. So I'm distressed that we're effectively using, as one speaker indicated, the redundancy project as a cash cow, this is just, we used to have monthly reports indicating where our money was and what the fund balances were. We've not had that for months. During your previous tenure here, that was provided all the time. So I think I feel that again, I don't know how we can approve this tonight.
Okay. Time to make a motion now. Is anybody?
I move that we accept this budget adjustment to keep things running through the new budget year and toward the new budget year, keeping in mind that major changes are in the works administratively and maybe perhaps in other ways where these kinds of omissions in reporting can be addressed and carried out without having temporary personnel involved. So I move that we adopt the resolution authorizing the budgetary adjustments and provide input for the upcoming fiscal year 2018-19 budget.
Thank you. I'll second that. Can we get a roll call, Amy?
Director Nichols?
Yes.
Chair Austin?
Yes.
Director Hill?
No.
Motion carries 2-0.
Okay. Our next item is personnel policy, but I'd like to take a five-minute break before we go to that, if that's okay with everyone. here. I'll call the meeting back to order, and we'll start our discussion of the personnel policy manual. So,
in regards to the item before, did you want to provide any further input on the budget than was provided through the general discussion we heard on the item?
I think it was all.
I think I got a lot out of that.
Okay. Okay, so we're starting on, I had it here.
I have it marked 7020, page
2. 7020?
Yes. Oh, no, 7020 is where we're starting, I believe.
That's 7010. I think that's where we're going to pick up.
Wastewater plant superintendent. So.
That's my note from last time. But
yeah.
I think so. I think that's where it is. Where you left off. Okay, so let's start. Or do we want public comment first or after? Okay, we'll go ahead and do public comment. I think we'll do it now.
I don't know how far you're going to get. I don't know how I can speak to the rest of the document.
Is there no public comment? Okay. Do you want to start?
I've started, perhaps. Barbara could start.
Where are we starting?
7010, page 1.
7010?
No, 7020. 7020. I have considerable comments written down in 7010.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. I did too. That's
okay.
Okay, 7020, page 1.
7010.
Oh, I think what happened is we stopped there, but then we continued through that to 7020. I stand corrected. Okay.
Because I have some writing here on 70103, I have the ability, and then on the second, to evaluate and personally participate in the operation and maintenance instead of function and activities. Do we have that on there? Okay, so we.
Yeah, I've got notations through 70105.
Yeah, and then.
Okay. I think we have it at 70201.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
Thank you.
All righty. Wastewater plant operations. We have shift. Do you have that one where it says shift? Yeah, it's supervisor. I don't think I had anything down. This is all the new stuff. Top of page 7020, page 2. Do you have it crossed out? The shift supervisor will be asked to provide a DMV printout.
It's crossed out.
Crossed out.
Yes. Yes.
I think it's replaced by must be required to possess a valid Class A or B driver's license or ability to obtain one within 6 months prior, subject to the U.S. Department of Transportation must have and maintain a satisfactory driving record to be insurable to operate district vehicles.
Right, got it. Did you say you had some notes written down?
No, I'm referring that for the prior section I had some.
Oh, I see.
So is that first section okay? Did you have some things?
I have some things, but perhaps you would
Did you have anything?
No, I haven't run across anything yet.
Okay, go ahead, Jim.
Okay, 7020, page 1, the second paragraph, distinguishing characteristics. I guess we've been informed that a single position, first line supervisory class, apparently are terms of art, but responsible for the reliable and accurate wastewater collections and treatment systems. What exactly is that?
Are you proposing something different?
Yeah, this is apparently a Huebnerism, so I don't expect you to understand what it means. It looks to me like there's some words missing, probably responsible for the reliable and accurate operation of wastewater collections and treatment systems. Perhaps that would make more sense than...
Is responsible for the reliable and accurate. I don't see a problem with the clarity.
I'm not sure.
Just for a clarification on the comments we've been getting throughout this. Mr. Huebner, did he have anything to do with this?
I'm not aware that he did.
I mean, I was told that he did not have anything to do with this book, so just so that the people know that.
Continuing on that paragraph, this classification is distinguished from wastewater plant operators 1 and 2 and wastewater plant senior operator in that the former being plant operator 1 in this sentence, acts as a working supervisor. That's what it says.
What if you think that should be clarified by specifically defining the name, you can certainly make that recommendation. Is that what you're looking for? I just want to make sure I understand.
Well, this document's been presented to us by the staff, so I guess I have to ask what your intent is with it.
Well, we are taking these recommendations back to council and to HR consultants to make sure that any changes that are suggested are indeed consistent with what the goal of the document is.
So, okay.
I'm trying to get to is
what is the goal of the document? So you've prepared this document, you're presenting it to us. This classification is distinguished from wastewater plant operators 1 and 2 and wastewater plant senior operator in that the former
wastewater plant operator one
acts as a working supervisor.
I read that differently, Jim, with a different emphasis. And this classification, which is operations supervisor, is distinguished from the plant operators 1 and 2 and the wastewater plant senior operator in that the former senior operator acts as a working supervisor. It's distinguishing between a working supervisor and
overall supervisor. I think the intent is to say that the operations supervisor acts as a working supervisor.
Why don't I just take that suggestion back and we can make sure that that item is addressed in whatever revisions we have.
Okay.
I quite frankly am not sure what they want to say, but we'll make note of that and bring it back.
Okay.
All right. Supervision exercised and received. Receives general direction from the plant superintendent. I guess that's okay. I would delete general, just say receives direction. There may be sometimes specific direction, I don't know. Uh, associate's degree, perhaps a science, desired, I guess, where we're going to...
I think it says at the bottom, or any combination of education, training, and or work experience to demonstrate knowledge, skills, and abilities to meet the above minimum requirements.
Well, which minimum requirements are we talking about? Is that the associate's degree? That says, it says minimum qualifications. So I'm wondering, you know, which minimum qualifications...
Isn't that right above the experience? Isn't that, is that what it means? Well, to meet the above minimum requirements, which would be the experience 5 years?
It says or. It says these or what? Any combination.
Well, again, to meet the above minimum requirements and the minimum qualifications, again, seem to imply education and so forth, and I'm wondering what combinations might be considered as meeting that. Typically would be job requirements, but the
do you have some language you'd like to suggest? Because this is really standard language.
All right. If that's very standard and you're happy with it, it's not at all clear to me. Safety practices, 720, page 2, related to the work including handling and storage of hazardous chemicals. Somehow we've dropped off confined space, and I would also like to add lockout tag out, which I would think is pretty critical for an operations supervisor to be intimately familiar with.
You want to add that?
So you want to expand the safety practices area? Is that what you're saying?
Yes. That is exactly what I'm saying.
To include confined space.
I would also add lockout, tag out.
Okay. Is there, this is kind of your business, so I'm wondering, is there an overall group of regulations that it's something that should be addressed here?
Yes, certainly OSHA, Cal OSHA. I think our policy manual should have a clear emphasis on safety. Someone's added throughout this document, plan ahead. Probably difficult to plan behind. That just seems like a superfluous addition. It says plan, prioritize, organize, and communicate assignments clearly to staff. It's about the sixth bullet up on 7020. I have a question on the fourth bullet from 7020, page 2. Make sound, independent decisions within established policy and procedural guidelines. Are our procedures guidelines or are they requirements?
With established policy and procedural guidelines.
Okay.
Change the procedural requirements. same.
Yeah, and I guess my question is are not our procedures requirements?
It says within established policy and procedural guidelines. I'm not sure what the question is.
The question is do we regard our procedures as a guideline or as a mandate?
We'll be glad to take this back, but I'm sure, as you in your business, there's oftentimes there's guidelines, not necessarily things that are dictated because there's human decision to be made in those processes. So it's not necessary. I'm hesitant to say yes, we should do that because
that's why I'm asking the question.
So I'm hesitant to say we should make all guidelines requirements because they're guidelines.
There's places for guidelines and there's places for requirements. So I just want to make sure that we're not dealing away all of our procedures, and it just says here in the book that they're guidelines, and there may be some that are mandatory. Effectively and efficiently implement operations changes. What do we mean by that?
Where are you now?
This is on 7020, page 3, third bullet.
Yeah, I found it. Thank you. Do you think something else should be added or explained?
I just don't have any idea what that means. And it's carried on throughout the document with other descriptions as well.
To me, it's just a description of what the supervisor's tasks include.
Okay. Means nothing to me. So, troubleshoot maintenance problems. Are we troubleshooting maintenance problems or operating equipment?
I'm not sure I understand.
I don't know what you mean by that.
I don't know where you are at.
Typically, I would think the operations supervisor would troubleshoot equipment problems.
Troubleshoot.
I'm not sure about maintenance problems.
Sits bullet down.
Maybe.
I don't see it. Sentence makes sense to me.
And I guess then my question would be, who troubleshoots operations problems? If not this guy.
So do you think that should be added?
Added or changed. Supervises and performs. Accurate record keeping related to operations, preventive maintenance, including graphs, charts, and logs. There's something that's grammatically missing there.
I have lost you.
This is typical duties. Duties may include but are not limited to. Fourth bullet. Third bullet. And then typical duties performs the most difficult wastewater collections and treatment plant operations. How do we determine which are the most difficult?
You want to just take that out, performs wastewater collections and treatment plant operations.
I think this is trying to define the fact that this is a higher
level. Higher level, exactly.
It's trying to take on the more difficult challenges of the operation. So I'm not sure I understand the issue with that, unless it's a wording issue that the most difficult issues associated with wastewater collections and treatment plant operations, is that what you're thinking is missing there, Director Hill?
Well, I'm just, are we setting up this one guy to do this? What happens if a difficult thing happens when there's a senior operator on the plant? Does he have to call up this guy to come in and perform this difficult operation?
I don't think it means that at all. I think it's just giving a description of what he's expected to do, and it doesn't say no one else can do it.
Typical duties.
So how do you envision that this higher level of performance be defined within the typical duties?
What exactly are we comprehending in the discussion of most difficult duties? In other words, if this is just random words on paper and that's what our goal is, okay, but I would hope that we...
So this describes a person who takes on the most difficult challenges of the plant, the collections and the plant operation. And I think that's what the sentence is trying to relay, and I'm not sure if you're... don't think that this person does that work or shouldn't have to do that work, or do you think it should be communicated a different way?
I want to identify what those things are that he does, and there's nothing in the sentence that tells me that.
Well, we can put this down. I'm not sure how to accurately identify all those tasks in a way that would meet to your satisfaction. We can certainly put down your comment.
Under typical duties, I guess this is a philosophical statement. The last one is required to wear personal protective equipment appropriate for job assignments. Is that a duty or a physical demand? Just a philosophical question. I don't know that I have a... We're informing the individual that they're going to be required to wear PPE appropriate to the job assignment. That, I don't know if that's a duty or if it's perhaps a working condition or perhaps a physical demand. Working conditions, we've got grammatical issues going on there. Work in wastewater treatment plant, wastewater collection system environments. Some exposure, maybe I would just say exposure to water chemicals, toxic gases, comma, hazardous materials, and noise. This is another statement that applies throughout. May interact with distressed staff. Can you explain that?
Distressed staff or public and or public and private representatives in interpreting and enforcing district policies and procedures?
Yes.
Do you need me to interpret that?
Yes.
The way I read that is that there may be upset people that he has to deal with.
Distressed staff. Okay. That's all I have on that one.
Okay, on the next page, 7025, senior operator.
same distinguishing characteristics, reliable and accurate, I think, operation of wastewater collections and treatment systems.
Reliable and accurate operation of? You want to fit operation into that? Accurate wastewater collections and treatment systems, reliable and
yes.
accurate. Did you get
7025, page 2, ability to plan, prioritize, and organize assigned work. Another one, the very last sentence on 7025, page 2, prepare a variety of reports and other written materials on operations activities in a clear and concise manner, using proper English grammar, spelling, vocabulary, and punctuation. So my generic comment is whoever prepared this document clearly couldn't hold any of these positions.
Anything else on 70253 now?
Again, we're troubleshooting maintenance problems.
Did you have something you wanted to change, or did you just comment?
I would think equipment problems rather than...
And which, where's that, Jim?
That's the third bullet on 7025, page 3.
Independently troubleshoot maintenance problems and determine materials and supplies required for repair. React quickly and effectively to emergency situations.
Because a maintenance problem is, I see that as different than an operating equipment problem.
I mean, there are times we have maintenance problems that have nothing to do with equipment. So I'm not sure how you want to...
Well, I want somebody to be responsible for equipment problems, troubleshooting equipment problems, and I don't see that assigned here anywhere.
Equipment maintenance.
Typical duties. 1, 2, 3. Third bullet has the same grammatical thing as the last one. Again, duties required to wear PPE, last duty. I don't know if that's more properly under working conditions or physical demands. That's all for that one.
Okay, 7030, wastewater plant operator 2.
Reliable and accurate operation, I would think. To advance to the plant operator 2 classification, the incumbent must demonstrate. I think we have a chicken and egg issue there.
Well, okay, so the... To advance to the plant operator 2 classification, the incumbent must. You know, so
is that the candidate, or I'm not sure who we're talking about. If we're talking about the guy who's already the plant operator 2, why would he want to advance to plant operator 2? He's already there.
Well, yeah, I think that this is anticipated to be an in-house promotional item, so that's why. Yeah. I mean, I think we can certainly clarify that.
Okay, thank you.
And make candidate or suggest that.
Okay.
There's another incumbent down here on the very last distinguishing characteristic. You might just say, instead of although incumbents, you might just say, however, may provide training. Middle of 70-30, page 1. Supervision exercised and received. No supervisory duties, however, may provide training to less experienced operators.
Are you looking at
ability
that?
To second bullet on 70-30, page 2. Plan, prioritize, and organize.
Plan, you mean where it says plan ahead, prioritize, and organize assigned work?
Yeah.
You don't want it to say ahead?
It's redundant. Director Nichols has commented, and I agree, that we shouldn't have just superfluous words in here.
Did you find that one?
No.
732 down at the ability to second bullet, so take
second.
Out ahead.
Okay.
Is that it on that one, Jim?
Yeah,
the first bullet there has
phrase, but it is redundant.
Right. Was that which one?
The first bullet just has some clear up the grammar on that as well. A lot of these are recurring. So, operator 2, typical duties, performs wastewater collections and treatment plant operations, maintenance and repair duties, and provides technical assistance to operators. But this is an operator. Technical assistance to operators. It's our kind of mid-journey level plant operator, I would presume. What technical assistance is provided to operators? I don't get it.
Again, I'm probably referring to operator 1 level.
Or other operators, could be operator 2s.
Yeah.
So you know where you go to?
70-35.
Do you want to do that or do you want to stop here?
Well, we can go through 70-35, I guess. That'll get to all the operations and then we're just left with lab tech.
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Same comments, however, under minimum qualifications, experience. 1 year's experience in the operation and maintenance of a wastewater treatment plant, semicolon A.
That needs to just get, move it to or, any combination. And the S is already off on mine. 1 year experience or any combination of education training. So. Right.
Yeah, it just there's an incomplete, totally incomplete sentence there.
I think they mean a column, a period after plant instead of a colon, semicolon, and the word A.
That would be one way to correct it.
Okay.
ability to, the first one, perform sampling to assure chain of custody.
That 7035 page 2?
Yeah, 7035 page 2.
Ability 2.
Sampling to assure chain of custody.
I don't see
that on here.
There's something.
I think something's missing there or something got added. Plan, prioritize, and organize. This is the plant operator 1. I don't think the plant operator 1 is probably going to do much planning, prioritize, and organizing assigned work. He's probably going to perform assigned work, right?
Yeah.
Well, he's doing assigned work. He's plan, prioritize, and organize assigned
work. He can organize assigned work.
All right.
Take out the plan ahead.
Yes. So we expect our apprentices, if you will, to take a proactive approach to problem solving, that's good, including recognizing unusual, inefficient, or dangerous operations conditions. I would hope that we're training them on how to do that from day one rather than expecting them to do that. It's not intuitive all the time. Sometimes it is.
Well, someone could be trained in that area and be reluctant to take a proactive approach.
The reason for my comment is this is our operator 1, which is our entry level guy who's, we're going to cut him loose in a year if he can't cut the mustard. Mm-hmm. And I hope we're training and ingraining in them safe work practices rather than expecting them to recognize inefficient conditions. They may not be aware that something is a dangerous condition unless it's pointed out to them.
So what are you, so this, you're talking, recognize basic
this is again a carryover that's not very thoughtful about who we're referring to.
I certainly wouldn't recommend removing that.
I don't think it should necessarily be removed. I think it should be expanded on, perhaps. React quickly and effectively to emergency situations as directed.
You make a note of that and see what just...
Yeah, I can't recommend that either.
Right.
If there's a broken valve and it's obvious that he needs to turn off an upstream valve, I don't necessarily want this individual to wait to make a phone call and wait for directions to do that. This person may very well be at the plant working in the evening when no direction is there. He is an operator 1. He is supposed to be able to operate the plant, so... I can't say that I would want to have him not react effectively to an emergency situation.
Okay. Let's move on to, you're done with page 2, 70353 now?
Yeah.
Anything?
Yes.
I don't. Okay, so page Oh, that was the last. Well, you're done on
that's
all
the last
your,
of
all your comments.
We're up to lab tech.
Okay, so I think we'll call it a night on that and leave it leave off at 7:42, the laboratory technician. So, is there any public comment? Policy and procedures. Seeing none, I will go to item 7, miscellaneous items. Written communications, notice of completion from the State Water Resources Control Board, the planning study that you have. Is there anything to report on that? Mr. Sweet?
No, it's the completion of a project that was actually started when I was here the first time, which was a report on the water recycling funding program, which is was done in the grant of the RGSP project. Now, Central Coast Group.
Okay. Board member communications?
None.
Again, I wonder on letters that we've sent as a written communication, I didn't see the response to the people who complained about the illegal meeting or any, well, we may not be required to respond to the district attorney. I would think it would be a matter of good form to do that. Acknowledge receipt of his notice of violation. Board member communications, I would again request some things to be put on agenda. That is the repudiation of comments made by former Director Lucy while a director of the district that impugned the reputation of some of our staff and was baseless. Consideration of restitution from the Wallace organization one way or another.
May I comment on your first request? Or ask a question of counsel on that. Can the board actually censure a private citizen?
I'm not asking for censure. I'm asking for repudiation of those comments that were made while that individual was a director of this district.
So censure is a term that is used when a body would like to correct the conduct of one of its own members.
Okay.
So I wouldn't call it appropriate to censor a member of the public. The board can certainly pass a resolution making a statement on any number of topics, and that could conceivably could be one of them. But I wouldn't call it a censor, no.
Okay. That answers my question.
It's refreshing to hear good legal advice. And we've been advised by staff, and I agree, that it may be premature on the next meeting to consider the request from Central Coast Blue, but I think at some point we should have a discussion about that, and probably within the next two meetings, I would think, might be appropriate to just allow planning. I think what Mr. Fine was indicating would be that we would incorporate that into our planning through the redundancy process going forward, looking at how we might ultimately accommodate the requests from Central Coast Blue.
seems reasonable to me to look into that at the earliest opportunity we have to do that. And while it may not, you may not be ready to do that at the next meeting, I'm perfectly okay with that, but I would think hopefully in the very near term that we would be able to entertain such a discussion.
I mean, we talked about it earlier. We'll put that on a future agenda. I know I talked about it. Are you through?
One item that I just wanted to recognize, that a longstanding resident of Arroyo Grande passed away, and I just wanted to offer a few words in memorial of Otis Page, who was always interested in the community and took part. And I'll miss him. He was had strong opinions sometimes, and we didn't always agree, but we often did agree, and had a lot of respect for Mr. Page, and he'll be missed. So I just wanted to say that.
Thank you. Okay. I know. It was like a month or so, I talked to Paul about maybe putting on a discussion of presentation on the brine program. So for a future agenda item, just kind of tell the whole what it is, where it goes, how, you know, some basic.
I would certainly second that.
So go ahead. Did you have anything more? Okay.
No, there is nothing that I can think of that I would like to have agendized that isn't already.
Okay. Closed session? Do you want to announce our closed session? Just announce it, what we're going into closed session?
Yes, so there's an item on the closed session agenda to discuss the appointment of a district administrator. So
thank
it's,
you.
It's authorized under the provision of the Brown Act for
public comment on closed session, please.
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker, and I thank you very much for mentioning Mr. Page. He was a character, and he will be missed. I did want to speak to the closed session item in that we all now know that there were 6 interviews. One of the persons who signed the Cure and Correct letter, or name that was a signatory, was an applicant, and that gentleman was not invited to the interviews. And I would ask that you look at his resume and ask the consultant why he wasn't considered for the interviews. He told me I could say that and ask about it. Mr. Panaro. And as I asked before, I will ask again tonight, have you done your own research on these applicants? It's amazing what you can find using the internet, and I encourage you to do so. I don't know how many applications there were in total, but unless there were 50, 60, 70 of them, it doesn't seem to me that the field should be whittled down by your consultant. If it's, a dozen or even 20, you can look at those applications yourselves and do that work. The McDonald's manager is not going to fit in, but certainly someone with water or wastewater experience would. So I would like you to get to the bottom of Mr. Panaro's resume. Thank you.
Any other comment?
Shirley Gibson Halcyon. And again, I'll repeat that a non-rate payer should not receive the same, their opinion does not mean what it means from a rate payer. So, no investment, no risk. Remember that. I think the board is more than adequate for deciding who is seen, and I wish you luck on interview day. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Patricia Price. I have said before I wasn't particularly satisfied with the consultant's picks before, the people that she brought to you. And I see no reason to trust her now completely, or that firm. I would suggest you look at the other applications. It's not going to take that much of your time, and this is really an important position. We need to get it right this time. We got it horribly wrong last time.
Okay, I'm going to close public comment, and we will adjourn to closed session.